And now, the rest of the story. Robert Frost said it, "No memory of having starred makes up for later disregard, nor keeps the end from being hard." Hemingway knew he was dying. December 6, he was awakened by an acute pain. He knew what it meant. He could not accept it. There would be an undeterminable period of incapacitation before the end, and that would be too much for this vigorous, virile man to tolerate. So he contemplated the alternative. Forget everything you know about the famous author Hemingway for these moments. I want you to think only of this man. Anyway, there was no question in Hemingway's mind as to what was causing the pain. And yet the following morning at the breakfast table, his wife, he kind of played it down. He mentioned it, but he said it was probably nothing. His wife was concerned nonetheless. She said, "Have it checked today." And he demurred, and she insisted, "Have it checked now, today." And he said that he would. But he said that with no such intention. Hemingway left the house for a while. He returned later, white and drawn. His wife would recall the difficulty with which he removed his hat and coat, and how then, pensively stroking his beard, he told her he wanted to lie down for a bit. He said, "Call me when lunch is ready." His voice was faltering. And then, clinging precariously to the banister, he struggled up the stairs. He went to the bedroom, he closed the door. There was a single shot, and he was dead. No, he was not cleaning his gun, as was feebly suggested at the time. I know, that's what you had heard. Not so. Hemingway had intentionally killed himself. There was subsequent talk of financial problems. Perhaps these had precipitated the suicide. That's not true either. It was the threat of being laid up and finally laid to rest on terms other than his own. I don't know if you knew, but Hemingway, as a youth, was a football player and a pretty good one. And later he was a sportsman, outdoorsman, adventurer. Living half a life would have been out of the question. He craved physical activity. Fishing and hunting were as tame as he got. But the last time he returned from Cuba, it seemed as though something was very wrong. The twinkle was gone from his eye. He was uncharacteristically irritable and suspicious. 6 months later, he put the gun to his head. Now, you will never forget the day Hemingway took his own life, even though this Hemingway, you never knew. Now, the person you've just met was another macho adventurer, another great white hunter who, fearing incapacity, eventually killed himself with one of his own firearms. So now you know for whom the bell tolls. It tolls for Clarence Edmonds Hemingway. The man we've been talking about was author Ernest Hemingway's father. And now you know the rest of the story.